Welcome back to our broadcast here on this Wednesday. Let's now switch to basketball and talk about the Atlanta Hawks, who remain to be the story in the National Basketball Association, something we utter all the time. Our Hawks analyst is Jason Walker with PeachtreeHoops.com. He joins us now. Jay, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bill. It's weird to be in the thick of all things NBA.
That's right. Well, that's where we are. You know, we're just waiting for everybody else to jump on that bandwagon. Well, all right, here's my favorite stat now. I posted this on Twitter. I don't know if you saw this or not, but if the Hawks go 15-14 the rest of the way, the other 29 games they have left, they would finish 58-24. Toronto would have to go 24-6 to overtake Atlanta for first in the Eastern Conference as the number one seed. Does that in itself tell us how big this lead is as we approach this All-Star break?
Yeah, it's very telling. And we keep rolling those stats out. And the Hawks, I mean, yeah, they lost in Memphis, but they keep winning, and it makes it even tougher. Toronto really needs a losing streak out of the Hawks, and the Hawks don't look like they're ready to oblige.
Well, and let's talk about the game in Memphis the other night because people almost look at these losses now more than the wins. It was a good game. Atlanta didn't play particularly well, but they still hung in there on the road against one of the best teams in the NBA. I didn't see much negative in it. Did you?
No, nothing. I mean, you're talking about maybe a top five team in Memphis being at home in a place that's extremely hard to play. And the Hawks are right there, and Pete gets all banged up. You know, there's no disgrace. There are going to be losses in the season. Even the amazing 72-win Bulls lost 10 times. They weren't to themselves 10 times. They lost to 10 other teams. So, you know, it's fun. You know, people, yes, it's a testament to how far the Hawks have come, that they can win so many games, and then they lose a game on the road against the top five team, and now that calls everything into question now. I mean, the winning streak was a fraud based on losing in the grindhouse by, you know, a handful of points and being in it until the very end. So it's understandable. I mean, you know, none of us really know how to handle massive success. So I give everybody a pass on that, and you know, this team is going to prove, Bill, even when they lose games, that they're going to come right back like they did. I'm shocked at how much that team played so hard in Minnesota to bounce back from that loss and take care of a weaker team, handle their business. And that's what this team's all about. Very professional and handling their business.
Jason, they made a trade on Tuesday with Minnesota, Adrian Payne, last year's first-round draft pick, to the Timberwolves for a future first-round draft pick. Tell us why they did that.
Yeah, there's a few reasons. One, you know, the biggest of which is that this team really pays attention to assets, and you know, they treat people like people. But in the end, they have to make sure that they're getting the most out of these assets. And really, Adrian Payne is in a logjam in the front court, and you know, they've given him some run, and if he wasn't exactly knocking down the three pointer a lot in the D League, and when he got some time there. So the problem is that, you know, he's on a rookie contract, and those things have an expiration date. So, you know, unlike an international player that you can draft and stash and not have the clock tick, the clock's ticking on the Adrian Payne rookie contract. And when you factor in that it's very likely that the Hawks are going to go in and re-sign Millsap and Carroll, it probably won't work out for Adrian Payne. That's not to say that the draft pick's a mistake, because what they were able to get is exactly what they had, which was a mid-tier first-round pick. And so that's what they're getting. They really, what they ended up doing is doing a draft and stash by getting a future pick for Payne. So that's the first thing, is that they maintained the quality of that asset. Now they have a fully mature first-round pick in the future, an additional one. And when it was obvious that Adrian Payne wasn't going to crack the rotation in Atlanta this year, and, you know, questionable whether he can get into it for next year. That's the first part. The second part is it gives them roster flexibility. They had the maximum 15 roster slots filled. So if they wanted to make a deal, and Bill, we've discussed if they were going to make a deal to replace someone like Tabo Cephalosha, if he's out longer than they've estimated, that they would look to Denver, where now, as we've been talking, Bill, on this show for 2 weeks, we've been talking about Denver's Aaron Aflalo. Same kind of wing player. Now all of a sudden, Ramona Shelburne and everybody's talking about the Nuggets trying to move Aflalo, who has a player option for next year. Now suddenly the Hawks have a first-round pick to offer a team like Denver for someone like Aflalo to come in and give the Hawks what they need. But if they didn't trade Payne, they wouldn't have that pick to be able to negotiate with, and B, they wouldn't have a roster spot for him. So that's another one. The third part is they have the roster flexibility to bring in a free agent now. Maybe someone like Ray Allen, who's a veteran who's looking for a playoff team to play for, somebody that certainly fits the type of offense that Mike Budenholzer runs in Atlanta. Now the Hawks have both roster and cap space to be able to go get Ray Allen.
How serious do you think that pursuit is, and what is he taking the Hawks serious from what you know?
I'd say that beginning of the season, I would have put it at less than 1%. Now that the Hawks have shown what they are, I mean, they just haven't been a solid playoff team. And now that they've obviously shown that they're a contender this year, I would put it more around the 15 to 20% mark, which is significant. But I would still say at teams like Cleveland that have LeBron James and guys that Allen has played with previously would still be a front runner for Ray Allen's services.
Well, and are there others? I mean, they've got the kid that they've got overseas right now. I mean, he's a big kid. Could they bring him over? And what about a possible big man? Would that be something else they would look at if, in fact, they feel that Cephalosha will be back and be able to contribute for the playoffs?
I've thought about this a lot. I know that we all look at bigs. We all like bigs, and of course, I really love shot blockers. But I don't think Walter Tavares, the guy you're talking about, I don't think that they would bring him over for the last half of the year. I don't think he's ready to contribute at a playoff level. So I don't know if there's any other bigs out there necessarily that are going to reveal themselves like last year. There was Jordan Hill and Chris Kamen. I don't think there's any of those guys out there right yet. And the Hawks have a hard time getting all their bigs on the floor anyway. You know, Mike Muscala doesn't play a whole lot, and he can contribute. Elton Brand, gets off the bench from time to time. Elton is still a quality big. So the Hawks really don't play the bigs that they're looking for. I don't know if they already have. And I don't know if there's anybody out there that's going to reveal themselves a lot. That's even on the level of at Ray Allen as a free agent, and certainly Aaron Aflalo in terms of trade market.
Jason Walker, our guest, PetrieHoops.com, the website. When they play a game against a team like Memphis and see a little bit more physicality compared to a game they had last Friday against a shooting team like they are with Golden State, does it give Mike Budenholzer a blueprint, a game plan for if he faces that type of team in the playoffs? I'm sure there's somebody in the East that may fit that bill, but we don't want to jump ahead here too much. But the chances of that being in place is probably more prominent for an NBA Finals matchup against one of the teams from the West than one of the East. But does that give him a little bit of a map on what to do with his players like Elton Brand, or if he has to put some others in to be more physical and to be more big?
Yeah, it does. There are few teams in the league, if there are any other ones like Memphis, because you're talking about a team that has two all-star caliber front court guys that play bruiser basketball in Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph. So fortunately, there aren't many of those teams if there is another one. But what it did do is show the Hawks, if they are matched up with a team that begins to be like the Grizzlies, or the Grizzlies themselves, let's say in a NBA Finals scenario, it gives them, you know, they've been through that now. They know what to expect. Sometimes when you've been playing free-flowing basketball and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a dark alley against a rough-and-tumble team like the Grizzlies, you know, you might get caught off guard a little bit and stop what you're doing. Now they've been through that for, you know, at least a game there in the Grindhouse. They know what to expect. I think most of those guys knew what to expect anyway. But when you haven't played a team like that all year and then suddenly you get involved in that, or you hadn't played them in a while, you know, then get involved in a game like that, yeah, it definitely, you know, it reminds you that you have to keep doing what you do. You have to keep playing your game and work through the physicality of the game.
Jason Walker is our guest. We're talking Hawks basketball here. Con Korver named the All-Star team last night. Four Hawks. Do you ever think you'd see four Hawks in an All-Star game?
Well, yeah, but I thought they'd all be in the stands with me. I mean, you know, I don't think that they necessarily would be named to an All-Star team. I said last night, Bill, I told the Hawks fans, and the Hawks fans are listening to this right now, they, you know, enjoy this. Soak it in. This doesn't happen. Four guys from the same team on an All-Star game, you know, the last time I can remember that really happening was with the Pistons after they won that championship. And, you know, they had you know, Chauncey Billups and Richard Hamilton, you know, Rasheed Wallace, you know, those guys, Ben Wallace on the court out there together. That was special for them. And, you know, that hasn't happened again in Detroit since then, and it rarely happens. So Hawks fans need to enjoy it. It's marvelous. It's a great recognition for the amazing season that they're having right now. And specifically for Kyle Korver, you know, it honors the guy that is on pace for a historic season. 50% field goal shooting, 50% three-point shooting, and 90% free-throw shooting has never been done, and Korver's on track for that. And is one of the hardest-working guys, you know, in the league. And we were lucky to have an interview with him, and that'll go up on Peachtree Hoops over the All-Star break. And it just gives you some insight into, you know, how professional the guy is and how he, you know, he doesn't take anything for granted with his own career. And it makes sense that a guy that has continued to work hard every year is still peaking, even at 33 years of age.
Well, it is a great story because he's been a very good player for many years, but it's amazing what some additional minutes will do for a player especially if they know how to shoot.
Right, and, you know, everyone, I remember when the Hawks acquired him, everybody, you know, kind of laughed at his defense. And, you know, that's a stereotype of the three-point shooting you know, forward that, you know, they don't play D, whether it's Dennis Scott or Jason Capono or somebody like that. But Korver, immediately you could tell, he took it way more seriously, and he worked hard on defense. And, you know, Korver's not the perfect basketball player. No one's, you know, there's not going to be a statue of Kyle Korver out in front of Phillips Arena one day like there will be of Dominique Wilkins. But that doesn't take away from the fact that he's, you know, this, especially this season, is an all-star caliber talent. And what he does on the floor positively makes a huge difference for the Atlanta Hawks. And there's no question about that. When we saw last year when he missed some games, how much they missed what Kyle Korver brought to the basketball floor.
Jason, obviously with Mike Budenholzer coaching the all-star team and four Hawks players on the roster, they're going to be a big story this weekend for the All-Star game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The announcers are not going to be able to omit the conversation of the Hawks.
Yeah, you're right. They won't. They can't ignore the Hawks this weekend.
No,
sure. You'll be ignoring half of the of the ceremony out there. We called it the NBA All-Hawks game out there in New York because between the four guys playing in the game and Korver participating in what should be an epic three-point shootout, the best of which I don't think, Bill, you and I have seen since Detlef Schrempf and Larry Bird went mano a mano Dallas way back when.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then, you know, the Dominique will be there for the for the tournament. He's won so many times out there, and you got Jeff Teague participating in the Skills Challenge, and Dennis, you know, and Dennis is going to be out. Dennis Schroeder will be out there in the, you know, the young guys series out there, and you know it's you know, so it will be hard to ignore. And then of course, you know, oh, by the way, the coaching staff's out there coaching the team, so you know you can't ignore them. And it will be an amazing moment, Bill, when that first timeout comes, or the first official timeout, or whenever Budenholzer does his first substitutions, because you know that LeBron's going to stay on the floor, and the four Hawks are going to join him out there.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here getting goosebumps thinking about it right now, because LeBron is the ultimate fifth man in that. With that crew, no offense to Damari Carroll.
We'll take him.
But should be amazing out there to watch. And it'll be quite a moment that I'm sure, Bill, will go in your video archives. And, you know, hopefully it'll be burned on my brain forever. It's going to be an amazing moment.
Well, and you know what? The crazy thing about it is, if you know, I think the national media caught on last week for the Golden State game, because I'd never seen so many articles and stories out on Saturday morning after Atlanta had beaten Golden State than we saw that morning. And you know, now it's just going to take it to another level. And if the Hawks hadn't gotten the national attention with that win over Golden State last week, they will this weekend.
Oh, certainly. I mean, there's still, you know, it's the conversion isn't complete across the NBA nation. There's still some folks, I'm sure, that, you know, I think the Hawks are a good team, and I think Charles Barkley of TNT is one of those guys that just, you know, they don't believe it. They're like, well, this is nice, but this is just the regular season. And you're not going to convince everybody until after the Hawks do some things in the playoffs. But you're right. But you can't ignore them, and you're going to have to talk about them because what they're doing is, in the context of this season, is amazing. And they're a great team with a great group of guys. Solid bunch of professionals. I got a question the other day that asked me who the vocal leader is on the team, and I threw a couple of names out there like Horford and Korver, behind closed doors. But really, this team doesn't need a rah rah guy. They're all in. They're all professionals and bought into what Budenholzer and the coaching staff are doing, and that's coming across. And that's what you're seeing, Bill.
Yeah.
After wins like Golden State, that's why there's so many articles about them, because people that have kind of put it off to the side and said, I'll follow them then, or I'll talk about it then, are finding very few more hurdles to throw in front of this team before they finally break down and take an angle at them.
All right, Jason, final question, about a minute left. Not necessarily to win a championship, but simply the key for the rest of the season. Is it first and foremost to stay healthy?
Absolutely. Number one, this is the big difference from last year, is that the team has had relative good health. Losing Cephalosha, who had the third best on and off numbers on the team, on court, off court, hurts. And that's why we're talking about possibly a wing. But maintaining health of that core group, Teague, Horford, Korver, Terrell, Millsap, I mean, that has to be first and foremost for the Hawks. And there's nothing they can really do about it other than stretch.
All right, Jason. Well, we'll look forward to that Kyle Korver interview on the website. Again, PeachtreeHoops.com is the place to go for all of your Hawks news and analysis with Jason Walker. Jay, thank you. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thanks, Bill. Let's go Hawks.
We'll take a break. Back with more as we continue on this Wednesday right after this.